now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, that's better if I turn my mic on, isn't it? Hello, Happy New Year and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lara Lanamy. That was part of my sabotage. I'm joking. Today on this show, QPOC Socials, Maya and Carlo are going to be live and direct to tell us all about them.
And Queer Quakers, it's a packed show because David's live to tell us more.
All that and more.
Today on Shout Out.
I've reclaimed my throne.
She's back, everyone.
I have missed. She's back. I don't think anyone's missed me doing that. I realise I can't sing.
No, you say that. You see, the shows you haven't been here,
yeah.
We always say Lara's not here because everyone's like, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it?
Oh, but we wait to see who normally? Does
it. We make a whole bit out of it. It is a whole thing.
You don't even reserve it only for me. You
no.
just palm it out to everybody. What?
Well, then that way
people... fair, it was being done before you enjoyed the Shout Out. I mean, it wasn't originally a you thing.
Pardon?
It wasn't originally a you thing.
Well, once I claim something, I like to fully take hold.
Yeah, we know. Hello.
Empress.
I feel totally claimed.
Yeah, I'll claim you.
Oh, thank you.
In many ways.
We're all Lara's now, so, okay.
I mean, when were you not mine?
True.
You know what I mean?
How many years is it now? It's got to be more than five.
Seven. 7 years, yeah, I know.
You realise in June we're 16. Shout out to 16.
You wish.
I do wish, yeah.
But, I mean, actually, I'd never go back to 16.
No,
I go back
to about 25.
Worst age
but go
ever.
Back to, it's the worst. Yeah.
It's so bad.
Okay, we are 16. Yay!
Yeah, but shout out to 16, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so proud of us, even though I've had very little to do with it actually, like, getting to 16.
Oh, no, come on.
Other than being fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, we need a lot of fabulous to keep this show going.
Of course you do. Look at me.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, like, it's amazing that you guys have done such a great, incredible job.
I did my hair and everything for tonight. Did you not know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Andy. Woo, God. If you could all see the shining, shimmering head that light is
polished really hard.
Honestly, I bet
he's talking about his eyebrows. They look great. They're very nicely groomed.
Yes, okay. To be fair, the rest of the hair that is on your head is...
It was a joke. You don't need to comment on the rest of my hair.
No, we're going there.
Sorry. Well, listeners, I was going to give a whole review for you, but apparently that's not needed.
So I don't think my own Carlo realised what they were letting themselves in for by coming on.
No, I don't like to prepare people that much because, you know, we're like... Yeah.
Oh, dear. So did you have a good New Year and Christmas? And does it now already feel like a million miles beyond?
Oh God, doesn't it always? I need to be in the Mediterranean sipping a pina colada on a beach.
This storm, what is it? I mean, I don't want to put it down because some people are really struggling with the snow. But why is it Bristol gets none?
I mean,
never get any.
Do you actually know something someone said actually really like resonated with me? You know, it's like a nice bit of a conversation I was having.
Resonated.
Yeah, resonated. Mm-hmm. Give me a little je ne sais quoi. No, the thing is, actually, snow in the city is a pain in the rectum. That sounds disgusting. But like, it is a pain. I mean, we should be used to that on this show. But
thank
anyway.
Thank God you're not a gay man.
Kind of depends on your point of view there, Lara.
Yeah, I'll say that. No. Because in the city, it just gets sloshy. But in the
show of the year, we're going to get taken off air, aren't we?
Well, darlings, no. Like, because in the countryside, I went to the countryside and I was like, sitting in the jacuzzi. Be jealous, please.
Did you really go to the countryside?
I actually did.
No, but I'm like, you went straight for a jacuzzi. You were like,
yes.
Didn't see a cow. Didn't
no.
like, you know.
Go can you really see Lara in Wellingtons? It's just a
yeah. She'd rock them. She'd look amazing.
Thank you, yeah. Vivian Westwood. Eat your heart out, like. Yeah.
Milk a cow.
Yeah, exactly. But we saw sheep, and they collectively turned away from us as we approached.
They saw you coming.
They literally saw us coming, was like, nope. Literally turned around. I was like, well, don't like you anyway. But like, all the fields are full of like white, beautiful snow, and that looks pretty. In the city, I don't want to see the city covered in snow.
Well, it's funny you're going to go into the city.
Well, no, the transport's not working. It means something's not else not working. The bars aren't open or something. Not that I go to the bars anymore.
But Christmas, you're at home. You know, so I mean, Christmas Day, no one goes out.
You still go on walks.
And you can walk in the snow. I mean, there are some countries where it snows for like 3/4 of the year. They get by.
Yeah, but we in England are not made for any weather.
No,
we are just terrible everywhere.
Couple of leaves on the line, trains cancelled.
Literally, snow on the line, trains cancelled.
I think we do it for the drama, though.
Yeah.
We just look to mind the drama. Because they are pretty, it's not very dramatic weather, as anybody who lives anywhere with weather would tell you. But we just love making such a deal out of
honestly,
it.
Honestly,
yeah.
If it's not our main conversation, what are we doing? Like, the weather. The weather! Like, we are very much like that in the UK.
Anyway, do you want to introduce our guests?
I guess, yes.
Because it's not all about us. It's about it. Like,
it's a lot about us, but not all about us.
It was fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah, I heard you chuckling in the background. It was giving me more, like, sauce, so, like, I can't help myself.
It was good vibes. It was good vibes. I liked it.
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, God, that was in unison. Hello. Okay, so I'd like to introduce the QPOC Socials group. I am joined by Maya and Carlo.
Hello.
I actually am not going to do the job of introducing you are and what you do, because that is, I think, the delight that I will pass on to you. So I'm going to start with Maya.
Great. Yeah, I'm a community organizer for Bristol QPOC Socials. I've been running it for 3 years. We actually celebrated our 3-year anniversary last night, and it went really amazingly. Thank you.
Well done. Because it's actually, we've run Kiki, and it's actually super difficult to keep it maintaining beyond a year. So this is incredible stuff. I'm so glad to finally got you in the seats.
Thank you.
That's quite a feat to pull off for the first year. It's like really quick, straight after like New Year.
Yeah. I mean, we plan our socials well in advance, and this one was a lovely card making social. It was beautiful.
To be fair, every time I see it, it actually looks so beautiful, and also so many people attend. Like, it looks like, let's get into it later. Carlo, come on, get into it.
Hi, I'm Carlo. I'm this voice.
Can I just say for the record, it's a very nice voice.
Thank you.
Are you just a disembodied voice, Carlo?
Oh, I could be some days.
Okay.
I have lost my voice previously, like this past week, but it's come back. Just in time. I am the community assistant for Bristol Queer People of Colour Socials. I help Maya organise things. Yeah. I'm also an artist. I'm an illustrator. Mm. I do a bunch of other things outside of this, but it's been my job as of last September to, officially help you out.
Yeah, you do so many things.
Yeah.
Are useful.
Honestly, like, prior to...
You're Maya's, like, guy then. I'm assuming, like, they, them.
So,
apologies.
To, like, being officially on the team, I essentially was being very helpful.
Yes.
Like, and more and more helpful as I became more involved.
And then Maya just come along and give you a nudge.
And eventually Maya was like, here, do you want a job?
Nice.
You're just too
that.
Useful. To stop being useful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm my resident NB.
I love. I need a resident NB. I need a resident everything. Anyway,
we've got S just outside.
Yeah, you've got
one.
I'm going to tell them that you existed like that.
Look at me like that. Okay. What, Maya, just for you, what moment or experience made you realize that Bristol needed this kind of space? Like, what kind of was that light bulb moment for you? And what did you hope it would kind of be?
Yeah, well, through 2020, because we started running socials January 2021, it was just like a very lonely time, of course, after the pandemic. And there weren't many spaces for queer people of colour. So I just kind of was venting to my partner, really, like, oh, I really wish there were spaces. And if there were, they'd be like this. And then just over time, I just gained the confidence to be like, you know what? I can do it. I'm going to do it. And yeah, 3 years in, I think I've done it pretty well.
Did you have any idea what it was going to be like organising it when you first did that first one, though?
You know, I imagined, so the first one was advertised on Facebook because I did not have Instagram at the time. So I was imagining, like, no one's going to turn up, like, it's going to be a flop. People actually did turn up, and I was really, really surprised and really delighted. I had no idea what I was going in for.
And I want to ask Carly, what made you come in a little bit later?
One was I felt quite nervous because I was made aware of it by a friend of mine who was like, oh, this would be a great place for you to meet other people. I didn't join until like maybe 4 months after being told that QPOC existed. And
takes a while, doesn't it?
It just lots of like social nerves and confidence. But then when I met everyone there, I was like, oh, this is nice. And I guess kept going, being like, okay, getting more and more comfortable, getting more familiar with people who attended, and at some point befriending like Maya and more of like core regular people more closer and becoming their friends, and then being like, oh, I've got ideas. Right. Here's something we can do, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, Maya was like, do you want to actually help organize things with the main organizing team? Like, I actually declined like 3 times because I was
Yeah, you did.
I don't feel like I'm that important yet. I don't think I can actually do anything yet. I feel like I like being this rogue member who just is really helpful.
You can't see me. You can't catch me.
That's something to be really proud of. I mean, to go from not even feeling confident enough to go along to becoming one of the organizers, no mean feat.
We were talking about this earlier. Like, since joining QPOC, I have felt a definite increase in confidence about, well, organize things, but also just being myself amongst other people.
Yes, that's so sweet.
More so.
It's so important you hear it, because, you know, so often we, as organizers, we forget that we are doing something. We just don't necessarily always feel it. So how do your personal identities and lived experiences like shape the way you run and hold that space within your group?
Yeah, well, being a trans woman of color, I think that really has impacted how I've viewed accessibility from the start of the socials. Like, I've always wanted to include people who are non-binary and people who are trans women and men. So having gender-neutral toilets at all the venues have been really important priority. And also, like, going further back and, like, kind of not gelling with my like birth family has also led to me wanting to find wider community in queer spaces. That like desire has kind of really been the foundation for wanting to build something like this.
Honestly, like when I first started, it's the chosen family you didn't realize you needed.
Yeah.
Are you finding that it's kind of dissimilar? Yeah. Your heart's being healed in a different kind of way?
Because
it's often in our own lives, we don't get the, especially in culture, we don't get the, like, we're never going to have it. Like, it's not a chance that we'll have that freedom.
Yeah.
So to be in that kind of loving space, what does that kind of feel like to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give an example of, like, so I had a bad family visit recently before the Christmas break, and I shared that to my Instagram story, and loads of people who knew me through QPOC socials reached out and like shared such loving things and, you know, like embracing me, just being the support that I really need. And I wouldn't have found that through like without making this group. So I'm very grateful.
And I guess, Carla, you've really kind of touched on it, but I'm really interested in you doing a little bit more of a deep dive. Like, what have you learned about yourself through building this kind of space for other people? Not just participating, but, like, you know, leading it.
I think, like, in my own, like, personal life, I've never really been... I don't know if it's confidence, but, like, I'm not someone who would actively put myself in, like, I guess, leading position or, like... center stage, despite being a performer. but like, it's not like an
make sense.
it's very weird in my brain. Like, but feeling able to contribute and give what I can in from my own, like being an artist who loves inviting play and collaboration, but like nerdy things like Dungeons and Dragons. I brought that to the group as invitations for people to play together. I brought like a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Like encouraging board games being more of a thing in the group.
Yeah.
And now we have lots of people who just, lots of creative activities, like realizing that what I can contribute is very much what I would normally do myself, but by myself. But then realizing, oh, other people want to do this too. And other people probably now feel encouraged to offer themselves up in that kind of way as well, where they just say, here's an idea, let's do it, and see who else is here. Hi.
That's so moving, and it kind of got me thinking about something I heard someone talk about, where they said you can have acceptance, but actually what people really crave is shared experience and shared lived experience. Yeah. How do you feel, QPOC is sort of helping with that ability to foster shared experience, and what do you think that brings to people who might... I might be putting words into your mouth, but is there anything you can say on that kind of that shared lived experience that you experience together?
I can definitely say something about in that, because I've been in spaces which is prioritizing the different marginalized identities, whereas people of color or people who are queer, but then
and very like often, very often one but not the other.
Yes, and yeah. I can relate to an extent with both. I can relate to both extents in ways, but to then find QPOC where both are melded together, and like there's some more direct relationship I can form with that shared experience of this very, I don't want to say niche, but like very specific, whether it be similar ways in which we've been discriminated against, or like similar ways in which we've felt joy of our identities, or like the interesting clashes of, or supposed clashes of our identities from our backgrounds or who we are as people. And like, it's been quite like affirming and refreshing to know that there are other people who can relate to the specific experiences I have.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a very, very common answer. Because it is the question people from the outside ask, you know, when you've got any kind of LGBT group or any kind of group that's for a specific thing, they're like, well, why do you need that?
You do.
There is a reason why these things exist.
I mean, it's really important. Yeah. We're a minority within a minority, being queer people of color. Like, not only are we queer, but we're also people who are brown and black. And, you know, these communities might not always accept us. You know, the brown communities might not accept us for being queer, and the queer communities might not accept us for being brown. But our space, I hope, provides a really safe space for us to have these like conversations and jokes about our lived experience, and I think it's really important.
That's the thing I loved about it, though, like being able to joke with people and not having to be like, oh, can I say that? And like, I asked both of these gorgeous hosts to send me like a testimonial from someone, because I want you listeners to understand how beautiful this place, this socials are. Like, and it said, I felt welcomed and connected with the organizers, and most importantly, community. It's an indescribable feeling that I highly recommend to anyone that's QPOC to attend. And that's such a beautiful kind of, like, you know, I know sentiment that they feel that like connection with you already, you know, and I think that's so important.
I thought you were wedding up for a minute.
I mean, don't. Yeah. The Botox won't allow me to cry. but just as a last question, how do you see Bristol QPOC socials growing and changing in the future? Like, what is the big vision for you?
I would love even more socials, even more like paid opportunities, even more like, it would be great to have a physical space, like a hub where we can do our socials regularly, and maybe even like, you know, let other people, queer people borrow as well. That would be great.
That would be lush.
I think something that I've been seeing recently has been more people actively organizing within our group. Mm. Yeah. And like, I wonder if it's just because we've been able to, since me being able to provide more time, they feel more encouraged because they feel more people caring actively to then offer themselves up in whatever way they can. If we're organizing, we recently had like a sports social come out of nowhere because someone was like, do you want to play badminton in the new year?
And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that's like formed a whole...
Do you know, that's something that we never did very well. Like, you, like having that like legacy, and that's what you've built. You've built a legacy within itself.
Aww.
I'm so happy to have featured. I know this has been a short stay, but like, we hopefully will have you back to give us a little bit of an update or a little bit of promote about what you're doing around Pride. But yeah, do you want to give your handle a shout out, and then we'll have to say goodbye?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, follow us on Instagram at BristolQPOC. We run socials on the first and third Wednesday of every month.
First social is our wider socials, and our third Wednesday of the month is for our 35 plus members.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Hello.
well, we just like want to provide some kind of space and refuge for those people who identify as queer and a person of color.
Yeah,
because it's weird out there right now.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
I'll see you.
Note to self: Lara likes 35 plus ladies.
Right. Oh my god!
When have I ever hidden that? Like, hello, come one, come all.
You're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
You were liking that a bit there, isn't
I was. I was enjoying
that was a bop and a half.
Like yeah. I mean, I've got the best dad dancing moves.
Do you know what?
Yeah, we saw over Christmas. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I'm a really good sidestepper. Hands to the side shimmy.
Oh, no.
A little bit of a
this is why I don't come dancing with any of you.
Yes.
I don't come dancing with any of you. I feel like I'll show you all up. No offense.
I'm not
like,
sure we could all fit on the dance floor with you.
I mean, I'm just like
energetic. Cut in shape.
So much no, but energy. I would actually do it with you. As thank just you. Just so I can laugh.
Now, have you got over your diva of the panto?
No, darling. Did we enjoy? I did enjoy.
So if you're not sure what I'm on about, last week we broadcast our Christmas panto. Yeah. It's available as a podcast on the website. Go have a listen to the horror.
I was amazed because Marty Spilisi allowed me to be every single character, which I thought would upset everybody else. But I pulled it off. So, Marty, I'm ready for the next one. It wasn't just me, listeners.
You do like one person show.
No, she was about five characters.
To be fair, you have five accents in you.
Thank you.
So, like, I mean, wouldn't be surprised.
There was actually one point where you were three characters talking to yourself, aren't you? You're like yourself, and then you're the henchman, and then you're
accents
the.
Did you
oh no, she was
yes, master.
No, you weren't.
And we did about four takes of it because you're like, oh, that's also me. Oh, that's also me. As we went,
yeah,
through
I
the
did
script.
Literally have to talk as two different people in sort of succession,
like
so.
Master.
And yes. As for the tongue twisters,
yeah,
the tongue twisters, yes,
yeah.
I can't remember that.
Now I've edited it down. You listen to it; it sounds like we do it perfectly.
Doesn't it?
It took like about six or eight takes to do it because we just couldn't do it. We just kept laughing.
It was a must
do an outtake show.
Yes, yeah, please.
We love an outtake. Yeah.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Go on, yes. Oh, go on. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
LGBTQIA Nation carries a number of reports on the geopolitical storm unleashed by the Trump administration after its seizing of the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro. It seems that opinion varies in the community depending on who you ask. Correspondent Alex Bollinger notes that every out LGBTQ+ Congress member denounced the invasion of January the 3rd. The US military operation resulted in at least 80 people's deaths, and Mr. Trump said that the US is now in charge of the country. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, Wisconsin, remarked, "The president does not have the unilateral authority to invade foreign countries, oust their governments, and seize their resources. Under our Constitution, the power to go to war lies with the people's branch." Other elected LGBTQIA+ officials also denounced the action, pointing out that it was deeply in violation of American and international law. On the other hand, Juanita Moore, writing also for LGBT Nation, said that Nicolas Maduro was a brutal anti-LGBT+ dictator. Speaking with queer activists in Venezuela itself, Juanita writes, "Maduro, whose political background includes Soviet influences and alliances with evangelical leaders, has repeatedly used homosexuality as an insult to discredit his opponents. Venezuelans around the world, myself included," he said, "are celebrating the capture of Mr. Maduro, who has committed crimes against humanity since coming to power. Since 2014, he has used military, police and paramilitary forces known as colectivos to repress and massacre the population. Thousands of Venezuelans have been tortured and killed. Venezuela is home to the largest torture centre in Latin America, known as El Heliocide, where the most cruel and systematic forms of torture were carried out. For the first time in 26 years, we are seeing the Chavista dictatorship tremble. For Venezuelans, it is simple. Someone finally stopped philosophising whilst we were being massacred, but unfortunately, that someone was Donald Trump."
Student radio stations such as The Hub in Bristol and URB in Bath have been reporting nationwide that the UK's National Student Pride is now just 6 weeks away. It takes place in London over the weekend of 13th and 14th of February. The organisers say we're made for students, run by students and committed to improving the queer student experience across the UK. Every year we come together with LGBTQI+ proactive employers, hosting the UK's largest LGBTQI+ inclusive careers fair. We're a festival of talks, music, activism, parties and a celebration of our authentic selves. We are an agenda-setting event in the cutting edge of LGBTQI+ issues. We were founded in 2005 and have remained ahead of the curve on queer debates, from calling out racism, talking about mental health and LGBTQI+ homelessness, to inclusive sex education. Year on year, we're proud to lead important conversations. National Student Pride opens doors to LGBTQI+ young people, who are a non-for-profit organisation run by a committee of students, volunteers and supported by a team of graduate volunteers and our experienced advisory board, who helped to strategically steer the organisation. Through this, National Student Pride helps young people to develop their skills and kickstart their careers with the UK's largest LGBTQI+ inclusive careers fair. For further information on getting to and being a part of Student Pride 2026, visit www.studentpride.co.uk.
Now, back to America. An American Atheist, the largest body in the US representing the views of secular humanists and non-religious people, has some firm historical corrections for those people who try to insist that the USA was some kind of Christian republic. Their head, Nick Fish, writes, "This year will mark 250 years of the American experiment, a radical attempt to forge a constitutional republic of and by the people. Our nation's founders boldly rejected the traditional models of monarchic or theocratic rule in favour of an unprecedented one guided by the secular Enlightenment principles of human rights and individual liberty. They set out to prove that a pluralistic nation could organise itself not around any one dogma or despot, but within a representative democracy working to advance the common good. Now, the administration's current use of overly Christian rhetoric is not without consideration or consequence. It's a deliberate and, we feel, dangerous campaign to normalise a Christian nationalist worldview that elevates one narrow sectarian identity to lord it up over all the others. Leading up to the US semi-quincentennial, we can expect this language to intensify, and its message is unmistakable. We are a theocracy, not a democracy."
At the Exchange at the bottom of Old Market Street in the heart of Bristol's gay scene, preparations are advanced for the Transsexual Noise Jam on Thursday, 15th of Jan. Open jam sessions, bring your noise machines and broken instruments. The organisers say that they are asking for £3 a ticket if you can afford it to cover costs, but don't worry about it too much. Times are from 7:30 to 11 p.m.
And finally, in media news, the dance music LGBTQIA+ radio station Gaydio, whose origins go back to the old Gaydar radio operated by that dating app, have announced a new schedule for the new year. The media website RCS reports that a new late show launches across the network from Monday to Thursday at 11, hosted by presenters from around the UK. Jusky presents Mondays and Alfie B on Tuesdays. There's also the addition of a chilled dance programme on a Sunday morning and a throwback dance anthem programme on a Sunday night, competing for a wider audience with such stations as Heart Dance and Capital Radio. Gaydio is available through the local DAB service in Bristol, whilst over in Bath its competitor Gorgeous is on the Bath DAB multiplex.
Well, that rounds up our news summary for this week, but there is always new material being published on our website, so do pop along to shoutoutradio.lgbt for much more content.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ezra Peregrine.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, good Lord. I'll teach you for screaming into it. I just said we're going live.
I know. I was singing my song, but it keeps going correctly. Honey, I was trying to give you my debut, but apparently that's not happening.
You won't be shouting, "Where's my husband?"
Oh, no. It's like, it's more like, "Where's my wife?" Like,
I know where my husband is. I don't need to shout it.
Well, no, you don't. Okay, fine. Unless you lose him in a concert. The background
going, "No, that's what you shout, Andy."
Well, at Pride, I'm sure you do.
"Andy, where the hell is your husband?"
But you know, I would be shouting, where's my wife? Because where is she? Come on now. Anyway, I'm getting impatient.
Oh, I'm loving the start of the new year this year with you.
It's 101.
It's a good start, isn't it? It's a good way to start.
So you have to get a girlfriend before you get a wife. Although, from what I'm told from certain lesbians, it's very, very quick, is it, Lucy? I'm told.
Yes. It's lightning speed.
Oh, 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
I thought from some of the films we watched, it was very, very quick.
I'm thinking lesbian space princess, very quick. Yeah. But it can be slow. We're slowing it down. Our generation is like, we don't need to U-Haul on the second date. Just a fifth.
Just a fifth.
There is no more thought process extended more than two women who like each other who started texting. Because the amount of overthinking that is going in both directions is pretty, pretty wild. In fact, they might not ever get out the texting stage. They might overthink themselves out of it, even if they both like each other. It's so hard.
If you want to see what we're referencing, we were very privileged to be part of the Irish Film Festival and cover it. And one of the films there was a cartoon called Lesbian Space Princess, which is very overly done at the beginning about a lesbian princess who falls in love, breaks up, and it's the end of the world, isn't it? Basically,
yeah, in the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah, in the space of 2 weeks. Yeah, that's where the reference comes from.
That's slow. That's quite slow.
So, anyway, we will say a big hello to our next guest. Very warm welcome to the show, to Dave, or we should say welcome back.
Yes, indeed. So, some of your listeners, I mean, they're very loyal. They will remember me 6 years ago.
Gosh, it was really 6 years.
It was June 2019.
Gosh, we hadn't even heard what COVID was then.
No. Will that lay in the future?
I've been here for 10 years.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, you just...
Sorry. Anyway, uninteresting. Sorry. You were here, lovely as yourself. What are you bringing to us today?
Well, I was here to talk about being a Quaker. I'm a Quaker and a writer of books, and I've written books about travelling around the world, visiting other Quaker communities, and Travelling Quaker Writes, they're called in their series. And I've just done a second one where I visited Australia, Canada, and Costa Rica.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Can I take it back? Because most people have heard of Quakers, but they might not necessarily know what a Quaker is. So before we talk about all the other stuff as well on top of it, what is a Quaker?
So in about the 17th century, during that sort of time of turmoil in English sort of history, and lots of new religious groups formed, and Quakers were one of the groups that sort of formed out of a rejection of mainstream Christianity, a sort of belief that things had gone wrong in the first 1600 years of Christianity, a bit of a broad sweep there. but that religion needed to sort of return to sort of gospel principles, and they were seen as equality, truth, simplicity, and truth. And interestingly, if you go to the central Bristol Quaker Meeting House just behind Cabot Circus, it's got those four words printed across the car park. I just went there today. It's rather lovely. But it was sort of returning to principles of treating everyone fairly, peacefully, equally, and living simply.
Cool, because they are kind of known for being quite pro-equality and the like, aren't they? Which I don't. It's getting better, but I know certain Christian faiths, especially Catholicism, very much isn't it? But they're very pro that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a Quaker centre in Washington opposite Congress, and on the front it has written into the stone, "Love thy neighbour," and then in brackets, "No exceptions." And that's absolutely the Quaker principle. You can't go hating on any particular group, disliking any kind of group, being prejudiced against any kind of group. We are all genuinely equal. And obviously, from an LGBTQ point of view, that's been baked into Quakerism from the start.
So, do I remember correctly when the equal marriage was passed, the Quakers were one of the first to...
Well, we'd been marrying people, same-sex couples, illegally for years before then.
Oh, right,
okay. We'd just been doing it anyway. And then as soon as it became legal, those weddings became legal, and the first Quaker wedding I ever went to was two women, and it was a fantastic ceremony.
That's amazing. You know,
what makes you resonate with being, like, what part of it do you most love?
I think the thing about how Quakers, the two things I suppose, is Quakers don't have sort of hierarchy. We don't have priests. We think everyone's a priest, effectively. So you go along to what a Quaker service would be, and everyone has the chance to speak, everyone has the chance to talk. And it's very definitely what you say on a Sunday is what you do on a Monday. It's action in your community. Quakers have been very strong in the peace movement, for instance. You can't just have a faith that's just Sunday. It's got to be your whole life, and that absolutely resonates with me.
Oh, okay. You're not
this is like, quite a new thing to you then.
Because I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And I have naturally grown a, and I'm sorry to say, but like a sort of, how do I say this in a way that won't get me fired? I guess a weird relationship with, because I believe in a higher being, but whether that's what's written in the Bible, we don't know. And so, but when, and it's also when you go to church and you see this priest as like, you know, the person that's meant to have all this power and be, you know, divine, but you know what priests have done. And, you know, I had a priest that was, you know, a little bit dodgy as well. You sort of kind of come away from it. So you don't realize there's other ways of practicing like that. Because I've never heard of a church like that. And that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I grew up Church of England. My family weren't that religious. But I do remember going from being a good so-called Christian boy to coming out and being the devil incarnate overnight. And it does really change your whole perspective of not just religion, but life. You start, I remember reevaluating everything and going, well, hang on, all these things I've been brought up and all these morals I've been brought up with, I don't believe that just coming out is enough to suddenly change everything. So if I don't believe that, what do I believe in? How do I get those morals back? How do I know which are right and which are wrong? And I remember about 18 when I came out, going through a real load of turmoil to figure that out. And I think for me personally, it made me more open to things. You know, I didn't just take what someone had told me as the absolute way it must be, because if they could be wrong about me being gay, which I believed and I still believe to this day, they could be wrong about other things.
I think that that's a beautiful thing about it, though. It's like realizing that, you know, religion is, well, for me, it's like it's a story. It's a way to tell you about yourself, learn about like the higher being, but it doesn't have to direct your every move. Or, and it's like, it's, I found it really weird that God could be all loving, but wouldn't love the gays, even though we are a fabulous creation. Like, come on, like, who, I looked at the gays, like, I love you all. Like, how could you not? So it's really strange to me that that's when it would, that's the line.
I think David will correct me, but I think, was it Towards a Quaker View of Human Sexuality, which was published as early as 1963?
Yeah,
years before decriminalisation.
1963, Towards a Quaker View of Sex. And the key line in there is, we believe that the quality of a relationship is what makes it, not the gender of those involved. That was when same-sex relationships were illegal. And it was, a very, very wonderful progressive statement.
So, I mean, do you find there a lot of people gravitating towards Quakerism as a result of some of the inequality in others, do you know?
Yes, I'd say what's quite interesting to me is finding out that the young Quaker movement, and it's lovely because young is referred to as from birth to the age where you don't want to sleep on the floor at a meeting for staying over, which I think is a good definition. But the young Quaker conference this year, or rather now last year in Edinburgh, had twice as many subscribers as they could cope with. And I think it's something young people have definitely started to identify with. And it is partly, I think, that absolute equality baked into everything, which is part of what attracts people.
What do you want to see the Quakers grow into, and how does that kind of combat like what's happening in the world? Like,
I one of the lovely phrases about Quakers is we were once described as angelic troublemakers, and I'd like us to carry on being troublemakers. There's lots of Quakers who've been arrested for their support of Palestine Action, for instance. You may remember that when the police arrested the Youth Demand people, they were meeting in the Westminster Quaker Meeting House. I'd like to see Quakers carry on with that. And I think we have to recognise, as you say, religion has done a lot of damage to a lot of people over the years, and actually I think Quakers should be still saying we've got a lot to do to convince people that religion is there for everyone, and we can be part of that solution with the methods we've got, and we should be talking to people more about that.
Yeah, so sadly, I think statistically over the course of millennia, religion's killed more people than anything else. And yeah, it's supposed to be the thing that brings you all together and makes you all love each other, you know.
I mean, everyone's fighting for their god to be the best god, though, so I can completely understand like why it's, I mean, we can both understand why, but yeah, I think that religion,
a different time as
but
well.
The thing I loved about religion, and do you know what, walking down like Stapleton Road when I see like, you know, Somali people sitting down and talking, is the community that it brings. I miss, like, like, we are shared because of our cultural and religious experience, and that's a beautiful thing to connect on. And I struggle because, like, I don't want the religious side of it, because I don't want anything telling me what I can or cannot do, and if I do, then I'm going to hell. Like, that makes no sense to me. But I miss this, like, love, when you have this, like, great love for something and you share that with someone, that's just so, like, beautiful. So... yeah, I don't know, that community side, I hope we can still get back.
Yeah, definitely. And I would just say, I think it's Reading Quaker Meeting House has a wonderful sign on its door that says, "Thou shalt think for thyself." And I think that would be a lovely principle to get. You say about, you know, people being told what to do. I'd like people to experience religion, be it Quakers or anything, and then think for themselves as to how to live their lives.
So strange.
David, tell us about your tour of Quaker meeting houses around the world and the books you've written.
Yeah. Well, I started just on a bit of a whim to go and visit as many as I could. And I wrote a book, A Travelling Quaker Writes, Volume 1, back in 2019 when I came and talked for the first time. And then I just happened to be going to Australia. I always wanted to go. And I thought, why not plan my visit around every Sunday going to a Quaker meeting house? Because Quakers have spread around the world.
And I was wondering why you know what all the signature is. I was like, wow, you've got, it's the whole, okay,
fine. Yeah, absolutely. And then actually Costa Rica was a bit of an accident. I was going there because my partner said it's got a great environmental record, and I thought that'd be interesting. Opened the guidebook and it said that there are communities in Costa Rica founded by Quakers who the Americans had tried to draft into the Korean War or Vietnam War, and as pacifists. Apparently a judge had once said to them when they were being tried for refusing to be conscripted, if you don't like America, go and live somewhere you do like. And they thought, well, why not Costa Rica? Because Costa Rica had abolished its army and declared itself a pacifist country. So they moved to Costa Rica and started their own community there. And
what a beautiful place to move.
And yeah, and it's extraordinary. I've been to the Quaker settlement in Monteverde, and it's in the rainforest, and they've preserved acres and acres of rainforest as well. And it's just, yeah, it's a beautiful place, and beautiful to see these principles of equality and simplicity and truth and peace just sort of in the same places around the world. So extraordinary.
It's interesting, actually, because a lot of people think they don't know much about Quakers, but a lot of people remember Quaker Oats, ironically, weren't they? Which was actually...
And the chocolate families were all Quakers, weren't they? All fries.
We're going to have to do a little bit of a fact check here, I'm afraid. Chocolate, yes. Quaker Oats, no. They stole it. Fact, there was a legal case between the Quaker Oaks settlement in California and the Quaker Oats company. Quaker Oats tried to sue them and make them change their name, and they wrote back and said, "We're older than you. You change your name first."
Because I know Bristol's had a lot of influence from Quaker, like you said, fries, chocolate. I mean, that was long before our time. It's gone now, but that was a huge thing. And there were several other industries here as well that were Quaker founded.
Absolutely. And I think I was just reading today something like, I think it's 7 of the 12 original signatories of the abolition of slavery movement were Quakers as well. And obviously that was very significant in Bristol, the attempts to end the slave trade. That came partly from Quakers, although I know William Wilberforce was an evangelical Christian.
But do you have a favourite? Are you allowed to pick a favourite place you visited on your travels?
Oh my goodness me. Now, if everyone's listening, that'll offend someone.
I'm sure they were all wonderful, but there was the one that stood out particularly, whether it be for the beauty of the place or the feeling or what, I don't know.
I think it has to be Monteverde in Costa Rica. Just because it's a school it's based around, and it is just in the middle of the Costa Rican rainforest. It's beautifully preserved. All the things you would absolutely expect in terms of you know, there's a limit on the number of people who can go into the rainforest at any one time. You're not allowed to take selfies with animals. They're so, so progressive in terms of their environmental understanding. And it was just a beautiful space. And to see they've set up a school, which local children can go to as well. It's not just for the American families that have moved there. And just the whole ethos of living in harmony with nature and at peace with the world was just beautiful.
Oh, you make me want to move to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I've never been.
It's gorgeous. I my 25th birthday, I did a whole zip line through the rainforest.
Oh, wow.
I know, please bask in my joy.
We get to do it over a quarry in Wales.
Oh, wow. Aren't you lucky?
We are running out of time, so but very very quick. I know you don't represent the whole thing, but if someone is interested in Quakerism and becoming a Quaker, are there places here in Bristol, or is there a website or something?
Yeah, I mean, you can search online on British Quakers. There are four meeting houses in Bristol. There's the central Bristol Quaker meeting house is just behind Cabot Circus car park. It's very easy to find, and I would absolutely pop along there Sunday mornings. They have meetings, but I would say if you just contact them, they will be happy to be really friendly and guide you into and it's no sort of forced conversion. It's no, you come in and you've got to believe this. It's just come in and find out what it's all about, and if you don't like it, don't come back. If you like it, stay.
Cool.
And do you have a website as well?
I have a website. Sorry, www. You don't have to say that anymore, do you? Why am I saying that?
I mean,
that's how old I am.
Go off. Go on.
Okay. Derrihealed, DEWIHEALD.com, and you can find the A Travelling Quaker Writes books there.
Cool. Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
It's been great to come back.
So we're going to have to carry on talking now. We don't have time for a song. So. But that shows you it's an interesting topic, you see, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's because you do, when you're LGBT, you associate religion so much with, you know, it being so unaccepting.
But David did say something to me a couple of weeks ago, and that is, my local Church of England church has a rainbow flag outside of it, and you were saying that because there is such hatred coming from certain quarters of Christianity, other people are pushing back and saying, actually, no, we're not like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm based in Wales, and you could remember the Archbishop of Wales now is a woman who has a same-sex partner, and that's been huge, because that's in some ways pushed some people who don't like that out of the church. But my local church, yeah, has a rainbow flag and the slogan, everyone's welcome here, on the door, and that's been a huge change, I think, in the last 20-30 years.
I mean, it has, but then it has felt recently that it is walking backwards a little bit.
I think the whole world is, isn't it?
You know? I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand that it kind of does do that, it oscillates rather than goes on an upward trajectory, and I think that's what's hard, because the way in which certain religions have led this charge against, you know, transgender people and things like that, it's like, it feels like there's just another battle. It isn't that, you know, first it was like, you know, Islam, and then it was black people, and then it was, you know, all these things, and now it's just transgender. And I don't understand, like, at what point will that end? Like, who else is there left to scapegoat in terms of, like, what else are religions going to go? Because once, you know, transgenderism is accepted, what next? You know?
I'm sure the US right will find something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I would...
I do think, I was speaking to Steffi about this, is that this moral panic about trans people, it will extinguish itself. I mean, David and I and Andy are old enough to remember the hoo-ha about gay men, which led to Section 28 and so on. That eventually burnt itself out. Eventually, even the people that don't like gay people very much were thinking, why am I buying the Daily Express and the Daily Mail and it's gay, 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 this, gay, that all the time?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? From an anti-gay perspective. We don't want to read about this. And eventually the same thing, I think, will happen to the anti-trans thing. People will be like, I've had enough of this now. You know, go on to something else.
I read an article the other day. All of the hoo-ha over toilets and shared changing rooms and the like. Apparently in 2023, I think it was, it said in the article, there were four complaints across the whole of the UK about sharing a changing room.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, we got to remember that it's also a distraction technique from, like, all the things that are going on. So, like, it's actually not a big issue like is an incredibly big issue, but it's actually not in
You're
the
being very reserved there, aren't you? I know you want to explode.
I saw eyebrows raised.
I'm saying nothing. don't get me started.
But going back to the thing previously, are you religious at all? Are you?
I'm not. Spiritual, you know. I believe in just being, you know, do unto others as you would to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's enough for me, I think, at the moment.
Problem.
One question I was going to ask is, you know, there are queer MAGA people and far right people and trans far right. Are there Quakers on the far right as well? You talked about loving your neighbour.
I've never met a far right Quaker. They may be out there. I've met some I've disagreed with and some who are quite conservative, but never anyone who I would say was far right. So
it feels like it would go against
I was gonna say,
the very fabric. Yeah. But you never know. The US can surprise you with things
this
that you
is
just
true,
never
yes.
thought, this okay, that's never thought that would happen. But here we are, and it's happening.
That's a good question.
There are definitely turkeys out there who would vote for Christmas in every flavour of, you know, walk of life.
Well, there were people who lived in Spain who voted for Brexit, let's face it. You know
oh
I mean?
My God! Don't even get me started. Any of you are listening? You made me lol.
Anyway, big thank you to David. That
pleasure.
Is it for this week. If you want to hear any more of this show or if you want to hear any of this show or previous ones, they're all available as podcasts on all good podcast providers, as well as on our brand new website. It's not quite so brand new.
Well, it is to me. To listen again or download, head to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Welcome to the new year. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We'll be back same time, same place next week. From myself and the rest of the team, say Happy New Year.
Wonderful.
Happy
New Year.
Shout out. LGBT Radio for you.